Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, and you are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on an absolutely tropical night here in the Midwest as we have enjoyed temperatures of 104, 105 degrees. It's been quite wonderful, and I say that with a great deal of sarcasm. And it's great to be back this week with the show. We've got a fantastic guest, everybody, all the way from Medford, Oregon. Though tonight he happens to be not too far from the main studios of Larry Batson's Wild World. He's in the suburbs of Muncie, Indiana. Pat Tovat's going to be with us. We're going to listen to a little bit of his music. As I said, this is the, well, I could say this generation's Pete Seeger, maybe, huh? We hope so. We've got a fantastic show with music and chat. We're going to learn all about Pat Tovat, and it's going to be a great show, everybody. As always, handling the technical responsibilities, Melissa Hovey, our studio producer, Wayne Larson, our technical engineer, the music controlled and put together by Scott Carney, and from the massive, and I do mean massive, Wild World News Studios in Indianapolis, Indiana, the honorable, distinguished, and hopefully air-conditioned, Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Well, good evening, Mr. Batson, and even though we are air-conditioned, it's not working that well.
I know. I think I looked at our air conditioner, and it still said it was 83 degrees in the house. So, but, I mean, when you walk out of 104 degrees and walk into 83, it feels like it's frigid.
It's like, yeah, well, with the wind blowing today, the temperatures, it didn't help at all. Didn't help.
No.
We had 110 here on the patio.
Wow. At least we didn't have the humidity. I think the humidity, they said, was only 46%. So we kind of enjoyed the weather they would endure in states like Texas and Arizona.
And all of your animals doing fine?
Well, they're doing great. In fact, I have to say that in the hottest parts of the day, they just look at me like I'm nuts because all they're doing is sleeping and laying around. And they're thinking that's what we should be doing too, except the very comical and always personable Elizabeth the Olive Baboon.
Your daughter.
She's found the joys of a pool of water. And so this has been quite fun tonight. The following portion of Larry Batson's Wild World is brought to you by Alphabet Swamp, the children's book by Cheryl and Larry Batson. Order your autographed copy today at www.larrytheanimalguy.com. Or send check or money order for $10 per copy to WES 4140 North 600 West, Greencastle, Indiana, 46135. Shipping and handling, of course, is included.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good evening. This is Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News for June 28th. Now, we're going to start the news out tonight with a little sad news.
Uh-oh.
Well, yeah, Lonesome George, the last surviving Pinta Island giant tortoise, has died at his home in the Galapagos Islands. Now, scientists believe that Lonesome George was more than 100 years old.
Wow. I hope I live to 100, but I don't think I want to be shellacked and looked at for years.
Now, as we all know, the giant tortoises of the Galapagos helped Charles Darwin formulate his theory of evolution after he visited the islands in the 1830s.
One day I hope to go there.
I also, me and my father, when I lived in Panama, he said, let's fly out to the Galapagos, give it a look. And he said, normally they won't let us land, but we're going to tell them that we're running low on fuel. Maybe they'll let us land. So we flew all the way out there from the coast of Panama, from Balboa Heights on the Pacific side. And, of course, when we got there, they said, no, you can't land. But we got a good look at the islands, and we turned around and flew back. But, it, you know, it was worth it. It was worth it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Now, here's an interesting story that comes to us from Raleigh, North Carolina. Now, after Cesar, the bull elephant, lost weight, grew depressed, and underwent surgery because of eye trouble, his keepers at the North Carolina Zoo began to consider a pioneering move in pachyderm medicine, giving him a king-size set of contact lenses. Yeah, now officials are weighing whether the risks are worth it. Zookeepers first noticed that his eyes were cloudy in 2010. Now he gradually lost weight, 1,000 pounds.
Wow.
He became lethargic and seemed depressed. Now, after Cesar's cataract surgeries, he perked up, but the surgeries left the animal farsighted.
Oh.
Yeah, so now they're considering the contact lenses.
Well, you'll have to keep us up to date with that. Maybe they should call Dr. Tavel, our local optometrist, who advertises on every TV and radio show.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Boy, I'd hate to have to go through that. All right. Pierre Part, Louisiana. Alligators treat a Baton Rouge couple whose boat sank in choppy waters on Lake Verrett. Now, when they found the couple, they were 15 foot up in cypress trees along the lake's edge. Yeah, I guess they had some mechanical problems, and their 14-foot boat became swamped when waves came over its stern.
So they were worried about being eaten by alligators?
Yes. I guess you could kind of call that a Cajun kebab. A couple, yeah. All right, Hudsonville, Michigan. More than 4,200 customers lost power for a few hours after a squirrel got into the utility substation.
Darn rodents.
Now, unfortunately, the squirrel didn't make it.
Mm.
But he won't.
They never do.
He won't do that again.
We've had a couple of stories where the squirrels have gotten rid of the local power and they're fried. And, you know.
Yeah. Why do they do it? Well, we don't know. All
we
right, where's
no
the
idea.
Best place to see a moose in the United States?
I'm thinking Michigan?
Portland, Maine.
Oh.
Portland, Maine. Yes, that's right. A new aerial survey pegs the state's moose population at about 75,000. More
wow.
than double the number of the last survey, which was about 10 years ago.
Wow.
Now, Maine has the largest moose population by far of any state in the continental United States.
Those moose need to get a hobby.
I guess. Woo, that's a lot.
Some cold winters.
I guess. All right, no pot for this lobster. West Ocean City, Maryland. The crew of the Potluck fishing boat caught a rare blue lobster and named it Toby. Yeah, now the Potluck owner says he plans to donate Toby to the National Aquarium in Washington.
Good idea. Why did they name it Toby, did they say?
I'm not really sure. I guess it just looked like a Toby.
I guess so.
All right, now delisted isn't a bad thing. Little Rock, Arkansas. A snail about the size of a dime that's found only on a few acres in Arkansas's Mount Magazine State Park is on the brink of removal from the endangered species list. Now, the habitat and population of the Magazine Mountain chagrin are considered stable, the little chagrin snail. Now, if the snail comes off the list, it'll be the first invertebrate to be delisted.
Well, we should have a party.
We should. Now, I know a lot of invertebrates that are walking around that should be delisted.
I totally
you goes out to our friends in Sebastian Inlet, Florida. A federal biologist released 37 loggerhead sea turtles into the Indian River Lagoon near Melbourne. Now, the turtles were used in research in trials in Panama City. Now, the biologists are trying to design fishing and shrimping nets that will help turtles escape. Drowning due to being caught in nets is one of the main causes of turtle deaths.
Well, they should do that.
That's why they're working on it. They're studying right now. What's the best way to do this?
You know, and it's kind of like when, have you ever watched the shows like Deadliest Catch and those other programs they have on? I mean, look, it really makes you realize how many tons of animals are taken out of the oceans each year. And it's got to give one day, you'd think.
You'd think, well.
Yeah,
somehow we've maintained it up to this date. I don't know how that's possible, but
yeah,
still carrying on. All right, yeah. U.S. territory, Guam. Now, if you're planning on heading out to Guam anytime soon, beware. A lot of the beaches are closed due to the presence of wasp jellyfish.
Ooh.
They're everywhere. Now, a lot of people have been stung, so they're closing a lot of the beaches there. So if you're heading off to Guam, take some Adolph's meat tenderizer.
Well, you know what to do if you get stung by it. Sorry, I picked that up about 2 seconds later. You urinate on the person who's been stung.
That's one of the remedies.
Yeah.
I prefer the Adolph's meat tenderizer myself, though.
Me too.
Yeah. All right, as we all know, we warn you every month when there's a full moon. In a couple of days, we'll have a full moon out there, and there are more animal attacks during the full moon than any other night of the month. So beware. And the last thing tonight, launched in 1977. You remember Voyager?
Yes.
Well, the Voyager 1 spacecraft is nearing the edge of the solar system. Now, Voyager 1 should exit the solar system within the next year or so, becoming the first man-made object to enter interstellar space.
Well,
that's Wild World News for June 28th.
Well, once again, a commendable job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana. We always appreciate the hard work they put together on each week's broadcast. We want to tell everyone to check out my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com, and our Facebook page, Larry the Animal Guy and Friends, filled with photos and information about our animal family, and also RadioMom.fm, home of the Radio Mom Shop, where you can save 50, 60, 70% on vacations, restaurants, and a variety of other goods and services. And I'll tell you what, why not listen to my show, The 70s on Sunday, 12 to 7, each Sunday at RadioMom.fm. Also, McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado, on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park. And, folks, the whole park is not on fire. There's been a lot of fires out there, but I've been told by Michael Hodges, proprietor of McGregor Mountain Lodge, come on out to Colorado. Don't be afraid. We call it God's country. Go to their website, at info@McGregorMountainLodge.com. Those are a few of our underwriters that make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
It would only make me wired. I should emulate that cat. Then a stranger passed and smiled. I slowed my pace again, despaired of ever finding that perfect fit. looked up at the mountain, took a breath, and damn, I must give myself permission to be exactly who I am.
The sounds of Pat Tevat, who is from Medford, Oregon, but it so happens that on this warm Indiana evening, he joined us from Muncie, Indiana. Good evening, Pat.
Good evening, Larry. How you doing?
Well, we're doing quite well. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I'm cooling off just a little bit. And I have to say, that's the kind of news I like. I love Dr. Day's news.
Oh, well, thank you. He appreciates that. He puts a lot of effort, and he's always right on the top of every story. Anything that has to do with the natural world, he's right on top of it. So,
well, I read about that, the Galapagos tortoise dying, and it was very, very sad. And But all the other stuff was pretty interesting.
Yeah, he has a knack for that, I absolutely have to say. So there you are in Muncie, Indiana. You're a resident of Medford, Oregon, but you can't wait to go back home, huh?
Well, it's a lot cooler there, but I'm here because my family is putting on a memorial for my mother, who passed away in her sleep at 95 a couple of months ago. So we're doing a memorial for her and finishing up some family business, and then my son and I will be heading off across the country and going back the northern route this time up through Chicago, Minneapolis, and across over into the Dakotas and then Montana and then Washington and Idaho and Washington and then down into Oregon.
That's a fun drive across that part of the country. I've done it a couple of times, and it's, you'll be
going. And it's
going
to be cooler.
Hopefully, yes. But I think you go by the old Devil's Monument. In fact, we were talking earlier before the show that our studio producer, one of her favorite movies is Close Encounters, and it supposedly takes place in Muncie, Indiana. But what a parallel, because you'll be going right by Devil's Monument there in Wyoming. So,
well, we're looking forward to it. I mean, we crossed through Utah and Wyoming, southern Wyoming, coming out on 80, and we did see some of the smoke from the fires, but not as far north as Estes Park, as you said.
Right. So tell us a little bit about yourself, about your music, and who you've had the opportunity to work with, and how you got started doing this.
Well, I was an old folk singer when I was in college. This is a long time ago. I'm old, Larry. In 1959, I learned to play the guitar from a fellow named Tom Rush, who was a freshman at the same college that I was at. And I played around in folk clubs and various places like that, a few bars, for 3 or 4 years as a student. And then I, began my career, and I was working at night because I'm an actor by profession. And I did that for 40-odd years, and when I semi-retired to go to Oregon, because my ex-wife had been married and moved my son out there, I picked up the guitars and said, I'm going to go back to playing music. I had not written any music. I'd written a lot of other things, but I'd never written any music. So about 5 years ago, I started writing songs, and that's how this whole new episode in my life came about. I just decided to write about issues that interested and concerned me, and then I branched out into much more personal statements, like the one that you played, that contemplative stroll through Moab, which is about walking around the fantastic landscape of Moab, Utah.
Well, you mentioned for a moment of being an actor. Tell us some of the films and television programs you've been involved with.
Oh, well, I did a lot of soaps. I've done a fair amount of dramatic and television, nighttime television, but listeners would probably know me best as Zane Lindquist on Another World, or Matt McCleary on Search for Tomorrow, or Cal Strickland on As the World Turns, which I did for about 10 years. And then I've done a lot of theater in the last a few things that I did on the stage were Proof on Broadway and Copenhagen on Broadway, and then before that, the revival of Our Town by Lincoln Center on Broadway, and you know, other many other theaters. I've performed at the Indiana Repertory Theater many years ago.
Isn't that a beautiful facility, if you remember?
Oh, well, it at the time they were in an interim facility because that was being built, and we were in an old, I believe, in an old Masonic hall where the pigeons had nested in the flies for about 45 or 50 years, and every time the lights would go on and the updraft would happen, this pigeon, dried and granulated pigeon droppings would come down out of the flies, and it was pretty exciting.
Well, I set you up for that story.
That was an interim location, and they got out of there as soon as they could and went into their beautiful facilities. But I wasn't lucky enough to work in the nice one. I was in the interim one. But it was a great show. It was a Feydeau farce.
Yeah. Well, my wife.
But anyway,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say my wife is quite the soap opera fan when she has an opportunity to work on it. And several years ago, I was out doing a thing for Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, and we got a chance to work with Helen Hayes, the actress, a legendary status.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a gentleman there that was working on that commercial, too. And he worked for soap. He'd done some soaps, and he said that's the hardest work that he'd ever been involved with. Because you look, some of those programs are an hour long daily. My gosh.
Mhm. Mhm.
So
yeah, we did an hour of finished drama every day.
Mhm.
We didn't quit till we had all those scenes in the can. Then there was post production, of course, by other people. But all the shooting, all the acting work was done in one day. And if we didn't get it done by, you know, 7 or 8 o'clock at night, then we'd go to 10 or 11 or 3. I've been all night several times.
Well, I think he said the most desirable trait of a good soap opera actress or actor is to hit your mark and deliver the line. And
that's it.
You'll do what?
And know which camera's on.
Yeah, know which camera's on.
Know which camera's on you. Absolutely. And a good memory, because you have to do it in a hurry. I mean, there's no point in trying to memorize the lines like a week ahead, because you're going to get them jumbled up with all the other stuff that you're working on. So what you do is really hit it the night before and trust that your memory mechanisms that you've been training all those years will work. And by dry rehearsal at 7 o'clock in the morning, the next morning, you better know them. And then you go down to the floor and get in hair and makeup and all that, and then start doing them right away. It's exciting, though, because you do have to have your chops and you have to have your, you know, your kind of kit together and crank it out every day. You just get on it. That's all there is to it.
And people don't realize, and we've talked about this in the past with several entertainers, it's just nothing but hard work.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the glamour, I get such a kick out of the glamour aspect of it, and people thinking that making a movie, for example, or making a television, a miniseries, or any, even an episodic, is in some way thrilling. Well, it just isn't. It's work. It's focused. The circumstances sometimes are very, very difficult. I mean, dust storms and, you know, and shooting in extremely cramped locations and hours and hours and hours and hours in a cramped area if you're doing particular kind of scenes. Oh, it's crazy. But you know what? We all love it. We wouldn't do it if we didn't. And the reward is that you're doing something that is so much fun for you that you'd probably do it for nothing if you weren't doing it for money.
Oh, how many times have you been out in, quote, unquote, the public and somebody call out your soap opera character?
Oh, you know what? Almost nobody knows your name They all know you by the soap fans all call you by your character name. I mean, I used to ride the subways in New York City, and I'd catch the eye of some lady who'd be sitting a couple of seats across from me on the other side of the car, and she would kind of slyly grin, and then she'd say, "You're on my story, Cal," and you'd say, "Well, I'm Patrick, but you know, I understand. I've rarely been addressed by my real name, not by soap fans. They all call you the character name, which is cool because they're the ones who pay your salary."
Absolutely.
I mean, it's absolute. You know, they are the most loyal fans. I know that there are loyal fans of long running shows like Cheers and whatever, but I don't think they're a patch on the soap fans. We've been off the air for years, or a couple of years, but I mean, I've been off the air for years, and there is still on Facebook a devoted group of fans who will post pictures of me and the other people from the sort of this later sort of golden era of As the World Turns, and make all these comments, and the thread goes on for, you know, 30 or 40 comments, and it's amazing, and everybody still remember it better than I do.
Oh yeah, they probably once you've done the dialogue for that day, it's history. It's out of your mind completely.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, I don't remember a single line I ever. Well, maybe I said several times. I said, "Emma, you got any of that good coffee?" but I said that maybe a half a dozen times, so that's one I do remember.
Well, that's good for 10 seconds of time every day. So what?
Yeah, there you go.
Did you have a favorite actor or actress that you work with over all those years, or do you not want to say?
Oh no, I have. I was incredibly lucky because I had women opposite me who were just wonderful. Linda Dano. I was married to Linda Dano on Another World. I was Zane, one of her loves of her life.
Mm-hmm.
And Linda Dano's wonderful to work for, and I mean work with. Mm-hmm. And then Maeve McGuire was my wife on Search for Tomorrow, another brilliant and absolutely stunningly beautiful woman, who's also a terrific, terrific person to work with. And then Kathleen Widows and Allison Rice. Kathleen Widows is just one of the great American actresses. Not too many people. A lot of people would recognize her, but they don't know her name and don't know that she was also a wonderful stage actress and movie actress. And in her early years, she was one of the really leading lights of the American stage. And she was Emma, the woman that I asked if she had any good coffee. That was she was the head of the Snyder clan on As the World Turns, and I worked with her for 10 years, and I wouldn't have traded one minute of it.
How is soap opera coffee, by the way?
Terrible. I mean, if you can think of an aluminum, one of those aluminum urns, you know, that they used to have in church cafeterias, sitting on a cart for about 7 hours before you managed to get your cup. Now, they did, in fairness to the people who were dealing with that, trying to keep coffee on the floor, later on, they did get a little bit more, upscale, and they got better quality coffee. But it was, early on, it was burnt sawdust, with boiling water, steeped in boiling water. And it would sit there. And I think I drank about enough aluminum to make a small saucepan, probably.
Oh, my Lord. I've always thought that the soap opera actors and actresses, they just do not get the respect. You never see them on the talk shows or anything like that. And gosh, they have a huge audience.
Oh yeah, yeah, and they're some of the very best actors in the country. Because it's a very good job. I mean, how many jobs last 10 years? And if you're interested in actually paying your rent and putting your kids through school, then if a great soap job comes along, you're probably going to take it. Now, there are people I know. For years, I turned my nose up at the soaps. I was a serious theater actor, man. You couldn't get me near that trashy stuff, you know. I was a snob, and I made no bones about it. I was asked two or three times if I was interested in the soap in my early years. And I said, oh, my God, no. I'm a serious actor. And then I got a divorce, and I needed money. And my agent said, well, hey, Mr. Fancy Pants, we got a call from another world. Are you interested in? And I said, well, I hemmed and hawed, and she said, yeah, you're interested. We're going to make the appointment. So I went. I got the part. And, of course, I thought, well, this is pretty dang good. I mean, you know, getting paid every week, whether you work or not, and working with these terrific actors. Because I never watched a soap before I did my first soap. And I went on the floor with Linda Dano and the actors on Another World, and every one of them was absolutely excellent. I mean, they all had serious skills, and they had their chops down. They knew how to hit their marks. They knew exactly where the camera was at all times. They knew exactly what the pace of the scene was supposed to be. And I was just, you know, here I am, big time stage actor, floundering around for the first couple of weeks and thinking, you know what, I better pay attention and watch what these guys are doing, because they know how to do this and I don't. And I did. And they taught me really quickly. And Linda Dano was just absolutely wonderful. So
God bless all.
Yeah, the skill level is quite. Now, there are, granted, they need to get really young, really raw, really beautiful kids to do the younger parts. And sometimes, you know, they're less skilled and much less experienced, obviously, than the older people. But everybody over 35 is a serious actor. That's just all there is to it. They can all carry, you know, carry the freight, every single one of them. And some of them, like Larry Brigman and Kathleen Widows, are brilliant stage actors. I mean, and have had serious careers on the stage.
Our guest tonight, Pat Tevad, all the way from the suburbs of Muncie, Indiana. His home, Medford, Oregon. Folks, we're going to play some of his music. It's absolutely fantastic. But we're going to take a short break. You are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. We will be right back.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
Here's a hot topic about our wildlands and living with the natural role of fire.
Yard work is not just a matter of pride when you live in the wildland-urban interface. It's also about survival. Here are some FireWise tips that can help protect your home from wildland fire. Prune your trees 6 to 10 feet above the ground. Remove dead leaves and branches and dispose of them before fire season. Water your lawn regularly and store firewood away from the house. Be prepared for a fire emergency by having a plan for your family and pets. Learn more at our website, and then sit back and enjoy. You worked for it.
This hot topic was made possible by the Teresa and H. John Hines III Foundation. Learn more about the natural role of fire, how to protect your community, and get the latest fire information. Visit the National Interagency Fire Center website at nifc.gov. That's nifc.gov.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
This is Larry Batson. You are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on this magical network we call Blog Talk Radio. And we'll be back with Pat Tabat in just a little bit. Con Talk is music in the second part of the show. He's got some fantastic tunes that we're going to have the opportunity to hear. We also want to mention that next week on the show from the 60s, Smash Potato Time, everybody, D.D. Sharp. Vocalist from the 60s, going to be joining us, go back in a little bit of classic rock and roll history, and we're looking forward to that. That'll be next week on the show. We'd also like to thank Tire Service Plus and owner Jerry Jones, taking care of America's auto maintenance needs. They keep our animal truck on the road, traveling thousands of miles with our wild animal ambassadors. Give them a call, 317-243-0700. Also, iKidsFishing.com. It is the first kids fishing show in the USA starring kids, teaching kids how to fish. And I know Wayne Larson, Melissa Hovey, they've been doing a lot of fishing here lately. 40 million fishermen spending $45 billion a year, the iKids Fishing Show. And I bet half that $45 billion has been spent by Melissa Hovey. The iKids Fishing Show is a keeper. More info at We Want You Cottages at Chautauqua Lake in western New York. The website, www.wewantyou.com. It is one of America's finest finishing resorts. Also, we'd like to thank all of our individual underwriters that help support our show. You can help keep this program on each week and go to my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com, and contact yours truly. And I'll tell you how easy it is to be an individual underwriter, mainly involves putting a check in the mail. So you can help support our show. Those are a few of our underwriters that make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
I want to die in a western landscape where the last real cowboys roam, and sweet water is more precious than the most palatial home. I want to end my days on a mesa, when the night is a tent of stars, where what you can do trumps who you can screw and the nameplates on your cars. Seeking in the desert for the lost and found, trying to find the bottom of my heart, searching for the secret of the last wrong turn, wondering how it all. Live out my life so quiet when I pick my old guitar. It's the loudest sound for miles around, cause the neighbors can hear that far. I wanna go up in smoke from a pinion fire to mingle with the wind. Magpies claim what remains, it's a dance that has no end. Seeking in the desert for the lost and found, trying to find the bottom of my heart, searching for the secret of the last wrong turn, wondering how it all came apart, wondering when it all came apart, wondering why it all came apart.
Sounds of Pat Tabat all the way from Muncie, Indiana. Well, he lives in Medford, Oregon, everybody, but he's special family duties business in Muncie, Indiana, not too far from the studios. I think about 3 hours, Pat.
That's not so far. You're south of us.
Yeah. What great music.
DePaul University.
Yeah, DePaul. That's right. What a great sound you have. And may I ask, I heard the sound of brushes on that song.
Yes, you did. You heard Dennis Dragon.
I think you had
him on the show, right?
We love the Dragon Brothers. Oh, my Lord.
Well, I'll tell you what. I walked into that studio. I got a tip from a guy named Mike Miller. Said, you got to go check out the new guy out at Steve Miller Studio out in Williams, Oregon. So I did, my girlfriend and I was up from LA. I said, you know, we got a nice excursion. Let's drive out to Williams and meet this guy, Dennis Dragon. So we drove out and we had a great about hour and a half with Dennis. Didn't really mess with any music. I gave him a copy of the solo guitar vocal CD that I had done in my friend's living room on a Mac.
Mm-hmm.
And just to, as an example of what my songs were about. And then I called him back about, 3 weeks later or so, and he said, hey, man, I really like your lyrics. I like the way you write a song, and why don't you come out and lay down a couple of tracks and see if, you know, if this is where you want to record. So I said, I think I'll do that. I went out, and I was going to do another guitar vocal album.
Sure.
And we laid down three tracks, and in the second one, Dennis, we were walking back into the control room to listen to it on the big monitors, and he said, you know, I hear brushes on this tune. And I said, well, that sounds good to me, but I don't know any drummers. He said, I'm a drummer.
Oh, yes.
Well, I didn't know. I knew nothing about Dennis's background. See, I was completely ignorant. I didn't know that he'd been the Beach Boys drummer for 5 years. I didn't know that he was a really hot jazz drummer when he was real young in L.A. I didn't know that he was the guy who put together and completely, you know, energized the Surf Punks, which are now still a cult band. You know, I mean, they're all over YouTube. And he knows everybody in the music business from the 60s to the 90s. And he's a wonderful guy to work with. So we just started adding people. He said, well, now we can't just have drums. We've got to have a bass. I said, well,
that
makes sense. So I called up a guy I know who plays bass. He came out. Gary Creek came out, and he played bass. And then we just started adding instruments. And finally ended up with fiddle and viola, the harmonica, obviously, clarinet and flute, and electric guitar, played by a guy named Barney Paul, who's a wonderful guy, wonderful old. He hoped he had retired from the road, and then he was discovered living in near Grants Pass, Oregon, and now everybody and their brother wants him to come out and play. He's the guy who plays the lead guitar, the swing guitar on that Western Swing on that tune we just heard on Lost and Found.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it happened. It just kind of came together, but it was basically the energy of Dennis, and he just kept saying, but first of all, he's a brilliant audio engineer. So,
oh, he is.
You know, those tracks were recorded on separate days with only at most two musicians in the studio, none of them in front of the mic at any one time. They were all just tracks that were played. The guys were sitting there in the studio with the headsets on and playing to the playback. So it sounds like they're all in the studio at one time, but that's because Dennis is just this wonderful producer. He just knows how to fit these things together. It's like a big jigsaw puzzle to him.
Well, he's a Grammy Award winner as well for his brothers.
Yes, he is.
Captain and Tennille, Love Will Keep Us Together.
Yeah, and he's recorded with just about everybody that is anybody. I mean, he's got the gold records and the platinum records. And if you go into the studio, the little entryway to the old Steve Miller studio is full of platinum and gold records on the wall, and every single one of them says Dennis Dragon, audio engineer.
And isn't it such a joy to work with somebody with that kind of energy, let alone ability?
Yes, yes, and skill. He has serious chops. Now, I have to give him a plug. He wants to advance the traditional recording arts. That's why he went to the Steve Miller Studio. He set up a foundation, the Dragon Family Foundation, in order to advance the cause of the traditional recording arts. He wants to teach serious students of recording just how it's done in a professional studio where the audio engineer and the producer are really important people. This isn't done by, I mean, he uses the computer, but only as a tool. He is there as a absolutely hands-on audio engineer. He knows exactly how to set up the mics. He knows exactly how to tell somebody to get the best, you know, to get the best sound. He mixes brilliantly, and he wants to teach people. So if anybody, I send this call out to all you aspiring audio engineers. Get in touch with Dennis Dragon at the studio at Pacifica in Williams, Oregon, and arrange to go and be an intern or to study with Dennis, because he's the best. He just is. He's brilliant. He has when people drop in a little repair, kind of when you put a little patch in. That's an art, and it's completely lost with the computer because people just find a time base. And Dennis doesn't do any of that. He doesn't even look at the computer. He does it with his ear, and he can drop in six notes in a real swift tune and lay them right in exactly the slot and be out at the end of that little patch. He just plugs them in. I've watched it, throughout this album, and it never ceases to amaze me. And everybody else who stands in front of the mic, Barney Paul, for example, has recorded with everybody from you name a country star, Barney Paul's played with him, and he's devoted to Dennis. He thinks he's just the best, and I have to agree. So aspiring audio engineers, get on it.
The album that he did with his brother, The Profiteer, is absolutely brilliant.
Oh yeah,
I hope that when we had that show on, that several people had the opportunity to get it, because it is. And I love the story he tells about Frank Zappa calling him one day, and Mr. Zappa said, "I heard you're a pretty good drummer." And he says, "Well, you know," he says, "Can you read music? Do you read charts?" He says, "No." The phone went click because Zappa, he had to work with musicians that were trained per se. But
he wrote every note.
Yeah,
he wrote all those. You know, it sounds like the wildest rock and roll crazy stuff that you ever heard. And Zappa wrote all those charts.
Yeah, it's like unbelievable. We're talking to Pat Tevat. Let's listen to a little more music, Wayne. And you're listening to Larry Bathen's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
Very few afford, so silence rarely happens anymore. Silence isn't natural anymore. Constant dull electric hum, traffic's distant roar, makes silence quite uncommon anymore. We need to put on headphones to block the growing din, and trust that we will find some shred of solitude within, and pray that we serenity restore. Calm our racing hearts that are so sore.
Sounds of Pat Tevat. Gosh, that's a great tune, Pat.
Oh, thank you.
That's isn't that great sounds, Dr. Day?
Yes. You know, it's pretty interesting how much you can learn from a person from their music.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so what do you prefer to do? Do you prefer to play music, or do you prefer to act?
Well, right now I prefer to play music. I mean, I just picked up this career after 40 years of not playing the guitar. I'm fascinated by how much better I learn now than I did when I was 19. even though my hands aren't nearly as swift and my brain isn't nearly as I'm not nearly so arrogant as I was then. But I actually learn. I actually know how to teach myself things now. And all I need is repetition and focus, and I can actually get better. So I'm just enjoying the heck out of this. I'm writing songs. I mean, I started 5 years ago, and I got about 30 songs, and I've recorded 20 something of them, 24 of them. So I'm just right now I'm a musician. At some point, I may go back to acting for whatever reason if somebody wants me to do it, and it's an interesting project. But for right now, I definitely am consider myself a musician, singer-songwriter. The singer's a little bit the songwriter. Songwriter's more important than the singer. I'm not a, you know, I'm just a serviceable singer. I just get tuned out. Hopefully it's clear.
And for the young people starting in the music business, the song is it. It's so important. You don't have to be the most talented musician or singer or whatever if you got the song.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's, and we heard it so much watching the Idol kids, you know, how important that song is. And it is. I mean, if you, because there's a lot of people that's still trying and still digging away and to break the music world and make records, but they don't quite have the song. And that's the problem.
Well, and if you think about the some of the absolutely great artists that that we now regard as primarily as performers, they started out as songwriters. I mean, Willie Nelson was an aspiring songwriter. You know, he was a guitar player, but he wrote and pounded the pavement and gave his songs to people and played them in bars and, you know, trying to get an audience, trying to get somebody to listen. And then, of course, after he became a major songwriter, then his performance career just took off and's never slacked.
We're talking to Pat DeVette. Your new CD, if I'm not mistaken, is Lost and Found.
That's it.
Okay. And where can our listeners find the CD?
They can get it on CD Baby. If they go to CD Baby or to iTunes or Amazon.com or any of those download options, they can get it, or they can get a hard copy from CD Baby. And
well,
that's just CD, capital CDBABY, and type in Patrick Tovat and Lost and Found, and it'll come up.
More music from our guest tonight, Pat DeVette, here on Larry Batson's Wild World.
Are coming home to roost and the rats are jumping ship. There's a traffic jam on the exit routes and the president's giving himself the slip. We got liars on screen with perfect hair, bald-faced liars with a knocking stare. You can hear the rumbling, the storefront's crumbling, but it's only the beginning. We got pinstripe peddlers selling naked fear. The stranger, they'll whisper in your ear. They keep terror on the docket so they can pick your pocket, but it's only the beginning. Oh, the chickens are coming home to roost and the rats are jumping ship. There's a traffic jam on the exit routes and the president's giving himself the slip. The prone to the bogeyman will rifle your balls. Caught red-handed, they scream, not my fault. The threat of a stranger is the religion of danger, but it's only the beginning. We'll have political turmoil, but home no fear. Political prisoners, enough right here. You can hear the Senate grumbling, the Congress people stumbling, but it's only the first inning. chickens are coming home to roost, and the rats are jumping ship. There's a traffic jam on the exit routes, and the president's giving himself the slip.
Sounds of Pat the Fat. I like that song too, Pat.
Oh, good, good.
My gosh. Just a, and the, I can hear the engineer work. It's absolutely amazing. Who played the sax on that track?
A guy named Dennis Freese. That's a clarinet.
A clarinet?
Yeah, yeah. He plays soprano, clarinet, and flute. He played the flute on the other one, the Silence, you know, on Lost in the Light, the one that you mm-hmm. played before, the half of it.
Well, it has to be absolutely inspiring to work with these kind of musicians. Because, I mean, they're just so talented, and you can hear it so much in your songs, and it's just phenomenal. The whole CD is phenomenal.
Well, I appreciate it. I'll tell you what, I was stunned frequently in the when I listened to these things back, you know, when I'd hear the cuts. I got, oh, my mm-hmm. God, Dennis, that's great. Because I went in there to play a solo album with my guitar, you know?
Yeah.
And they just add so much more.
It just kind of finishes the picture or finishes the painting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
And they have their... I'm sure their parts were not note for note and what they thought might
work.
Oh,
no, no, no. They only listened. They listened to my vocal and guitar track...
Mm-hmm.
Maybe with the drums and bass,
mm-hmm.
and then they just laid it in.
That's almost like Nashville.
It is like Nashville, and these are Nashville quality players.
Oh, I mean, because they talk about how a lot of these country players will go in and play the song once, and these guys say, "Well, we know what we're going to do," and it's just so inspiring.
I think Dennis heard that one twice.
He did.
Yeah, Lord. He did a couple of. He did a couple of takes, and we selected the... I think that he maybe did three passes on this one, and then Dennis Dragon mixed out of those three takes. So he heard it about three times.
And you just must be sitting there scratching your head and go, my Lord, these guys are great.
Absolutely. And the other question is, well, how does he do that? I want to know. But then, of course, you know, it'd take 35 years, and I'm 71. I don't think I can probably do it. But I certainly want to keep playing with these guys.
Well, I don't blame you because it sounds phenomenal. I want to tell you, Pat, what a pleasure to have you on the program tonight. I knew this hour would fly by, but it absolutely has.
Wow, are we at the end of it? I haven't kept track of any time.
Well,
yeah,
I don't
time
like
flies
it.
When you're having fun.
I'm telling
That's
you. We want to hear something else from the album Lost and Found. It's available. Tell them once again where they can pick up a copy of the CD or download.
CD Baby. It's just capital CD, BABY, or iTunes or Amazon.com. Type in Patrick Tovat,
mm-hmm.
and the album title Lost and Found.
That's easy. I think even Dr. Dick.
Spell your name for our listeners.
What? Pardon me?
Spell your name for our listeners.
Oh, PatrickTovatt. T as in Thomas, O, V, Victor, A, Tom, Tom. Can't tell I've
there
done
you
that
go.
Before.
Thank you. Pat, great show tonight. Your music is so refreshing. And profound.
Oh, it absolutely is. You
well,
can borrow my copy.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed the heck out of it.
We're so glad. We want to remind everyone that next week on the program, music legend D.D. Sharp will be with us. We'll be talking about, who knows, Phil Spector and all that deal going on the East Coast. A big thank you to Melissa Hovey and Wayne Larson and, of course, Scott Carney, who takes care of the music. We're going to close out with another song from his CD, Lost and Found, Pat Tovat. Folks, this is Larry Batson. Have a great week, everybody, and you've been listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Block Talk Radio.
Anybody
say I've been on the outside, always looking in. If you want to know what something is about, well, don't ask me, because I've never been on the inside looking out. I used to be a drinker, taking drugs and smoking pot, pursuing my career as a liver-damaged sot. I thought if I got high enough, I'd suddenly belong. But all it ever got me was the lyric to this song. Once said to me, it'll ever remain a mystery why all of your heroes appear to be intoxicated or dead.
Listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.